In the name of Jesus, amen. Pachad, Pachath, Pach. No, that's not Klingon. It's the prophet Isaiah, issuing his oracle against all the inhabitants of the earth. In the preceding chapters of Isaiah, he lists one nation after another, condemnation because of the abominations that were perpetrated on the earth. Moab, Damascus, Assyria, Egypt, Cush, Babylon, Tyre, Sidon, even Jerusalem is unable to escape God's wrathful denunciation. Our text today brings to this conclusion one final outburst directed against every nation, against the whole earth. Pachad, Pachath, Pach, terror, pit, the snare. That is the judgment Isaiah proclaims. So memorable was his ear-pleasing alliteration that a century later, the prophet Jeremiah would quote the exact same words. For all those who have turned away from God, there is no escape. For those who run, the pit, that will swallow them up. For those who delude themselves into thinking that they can somehow claw their way out to safety, the snare lies in wait, ready to trap them and pin them down. Isaiah's message is perfectly clear. There is no escape and no relief for the enemies of God. So comprehensive is his wrath and displeasure that the very earth groans under the oppression. The earth staggers like a drunken man, declares Isaiah. It is utterly broken, split apart, violently shaken. That such evil exists on the earth still today should come as no surprise. The sudden advance of the Islamic State, for example, with the utter brutality it has unleashed, torture, rape, beheadings videotaped for the world to see. It's but the latest manifestation of what one might simply call evil incarnate. And who among us hasn't been caught off guard by the rapid advance in our own country of the legalization of gay marriage, brought up yet again in a chapel sermon, with the Supreme Court just this week deciding that it's not going to decide, at least for the time being, on the subject. It feels as though Satan needs from time to time to grasp the throat of our world in order to gain our attention, as though somehow, perhaps, we've taken him for granted. Far more often, however, it's the devious, hidden snares that present the greater danger. Little things that go unnoticed that are nevertheless equally capable of leading us away from God. The contempt, for example, that might slowly creep into our relationship with a spouse or a colleague, fueled by the attitude that I'm God's gift to the world and that if someone else can't recognize it, well, that's his or her fault. So when God calls for charity to be shown to all, we respond with scorn and ridicule, always carefully hidden, mind you, so it's just below the surface, not necessarily seen. The preaching of Isaiah, however, intends to strip away all the false pretensions, the self-delusions, to expose us for who we are, pretenders whose desire the very throne of God that we might sit upon it. Not only the earth, but our own little world is utterly broken. We stagger like that drunken man, falling into the pits of our own making and the snares of our own devices. Our transgressions do lie heavy upon us. We fall and cannot rise, not of our own doing. Pachad, Pachath, Pach, terror, pit, snare, that too is our fate. Apart from God. Isaiah, thankfully, doesn't stop here. He is, after all, a good Lutheran. Chapter after chapter of unrelenting condemnation gives way at last to some good news. The Lord of hosts reigns, Isaiah declares. The Lord who does wondrous deeds, he says. His plans are faithful and sure as he becomes a stronghold to the poor and a bulwark for the defenseless. And this Lord reigns not in some otherly world experience, with desperate souls grasping for an imaginary savior. No, Mount Zion is the place. There our God reigns. And it is precisely there that the Lord will prepare a feast of rich food and well-aged wine. There that the hand of the Lord will rest, strong in battle, mighty to save. There, on Mount Zion, there he will swallow up death forever. Before you know it, you students will be sent out into a world where death still reigns, or so Satan would have you believe. Into the vacuum of empty promises and false hope, you will speak a word that may barely register as the masses blithely go about in their deluded lives, seeking pleasure and meaning, but finding only death. But you will speak it. The Lord reigns. From that cross planted there on Mount Zion, the Lord reigns. Beaten and bloodied, taunted and tormented, the Lord reigns. Forsaken and rejected, in the very midst of death, the Lord reigns. For you see, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to rule there from his holy mountain, swallowing up there death forever for you. Yet his kingdom is not only of that time, of that full time, but to this very day he reigns, as he continually sets before you his banquet of rich food, of well-aged wine, of life itself. The Lord still reigns from his font and pulpit and altar, the places where you future pastors will stand in his stead, the places where you will stand delivering the gifts of the kingdom, and to where you future deaconesses will point the faithful as you embody the Lord's mercy in the midst of their pain and suffering. The Lord still reigns for you, and he will reign through you as you forsake life and limb, perhaps even your liberty, so that all may know the comfort of his salvation. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us rejoice in his salvation. In the name of Jesus. Amen.